Some snow this morning. Low pressure over Kentucky will move northeast throughout the day today, and rain and a wintry mix will continue to move across Indiana and Kentucky as that low pulls away. Minor accumulations of slushy wet snow are possible. High pressure will then set up across the region through midweek, bringing dry and seasonable weather. Highs today will range from the mid-30s across the upper Midwest to the upper 40s in southern Missouri. Low temperatures overnight will range from the low teens in northern Wisconsin to near 30 degrees in southwestern Kentucky. The forecast for east central Illinois this afternoon, cloudy with a chance of sprinkles or flurries. Look for a high in the mid-30s. It will be breezy with the wind out of the northwest from 20 to 25 miles per hour. Tonight, partly cloudy, colder and breezy. We'll see a low of 22. The wind from the northwest at 15 to 20 miles per hour with gusts to 30 miles per hour, but the wind will decrease to 5 to 10 miles per hour after midnight. Tomorrow, partly sunny with a high of 37. The wind will be out of the southwest from 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy with a low of 28. The wind from the southwest around 10 miles per hour. Thursday, mostly sunny with a high in the mid-40s. Thursday night and Friday, mostly cloudy. The low Thursday night in the mid-30s and the high Friday in the mid-40s. At noon central time, temperatures across Illinois and Indiana ranged from the low 30s to the low 40s. Most locations reporting a cloudy sky, the exception southwestern Illinois. At Rockford and O'Hare, it was 40 degrees at the top of the hour. Bloomington and Mattoon reported 36 degrees at noon. In Carbondale, it was sunny and 43. South Bend reported fog and 33 degrees. At Lafayette, 34. Indianapolis had snow at the top of the hour. The temperature there, 33 degrees. Terre Haute, 35. Willard Airport reported a cloudy sky at the top of the hour, 36 degrees. The dew point, 32. The relative humidity, 85%. The wind out of the west at 17. The barometric pressure, 29.61, and steady. And at 12:39, 36 degrees in Urbana on the campus of the University of Illinois. People in St. Paul, Minnesota, supported themselves with a job at a Ford Motor Company plant. Now that plant is closed and Ford is preparing to sell the property, the real estate could have a new life. Located in a quiet residential neighborhood on a scenic river bluff, it's an attractive property. But in today's real estate market, redevelopment may take time. Here's Matt Sepik of Minnesota Public Radio.
It's not easy to make a 2-million-square-foot factory blend into its surroundings, but industrial architect Albert Kahn did. The plant's classical stone facade flows along a Mississippi River bluff. The red tile roof of the hydroelectric plant glows in the sunlight, and Tia Anderson, who lives near the plant in the Highland Park neighborhood, says this behemoth was scarcely a bother.
A lot of people don't even notice that it's there. I mean, it is sort of walled off almost physically from the rest of Highland. So a lot of people don't necessarily think about it day to day.
But they will soon, as Ford puts this prime piece of land in the heart of the Twin Cities Metro up for sale. Hydropower and silica for glassmaking brought Henry Ford here a century ago, and today city officials hope the scenery and central location will attract someone with a new vision. As the last few Rangers rolled toward the exit this month, worker Steve Overby popped each hood to check the fit. Then he nudged the hinges with his mallet. Overby's job, using hand tools in a factory full of robots, is a throwback to the earliest days of automaking. On this very spot, his predecessors churned out Model Ts and Model As. Ken Muxlow started work at the plant in 1929 making seat cushions. In an oral history interview shortly before his death in 2000, he said those pre-union years were tough and unpredictable.
The line kept going no matter what. If you had to go to the bathroom, you had to go, and you had to catch up your job when you got back. They didn't give you any time.
The threat of losing defense contracts during World War II forced Henry Ford to negotiate with the United Auto Workers, and conditions slowly improved. The assembly lines produced tanks and armored cars. Post-war, it was Fairlane's station wagons and trucks. Now Ford has ended Ranger production and closed the plant, even though it's hiring again elsewhere. While tales of life on the line will remain for historians and former workers, the future of the 122-acre site lies with a developer, once Ford finds one. St. Paul Planning Director Cecile Bedore says the job losses are unfortunate, but the plant's closing offers a rare chance for a city with little empty land to do something ambitious.
What it does present is a really exciting opportunity to really realize a beautiful development that's really going to add to this community and the region. And really, our hope is to showcase how to do really good development.
What that might be is anyone's guess. Ideas range from light manufacturing to a data center in the old silica mine to housing. With the Mississippi River nearby, Bedore says attracting a green development is a priority. But defunct factory sites in gritty industrial suburbs have proven tough to sell. And even though this one is in a thriving residential neighborhood, University of St. Thomas real estate professor George Carvell says finding the right buyer could take years.
It's a great piece of property for retail, for single-family housing, for apartments, but just not today.
Crews will spend the next year demolishing the buildings. After that, they have to figure out how polluted the land is after 9 decades of manufacturing. Cleanup will likely take several more years, but by then, city leaders say they hope the economy will have finally caught up with their ambitions. For NPR News, I'm Matt Sepik in St. Paul.
This has been a great year for cabaret artist and Tony Award-winning star Barbara Cook. At 84, the legendary singer has a new CD, You Make Me Feel So Young. She received a 2011 Kennedy Center honor, and CBS will broadcast the ceremony tonight. Jeff London profiled Barbara Cook 9 years ago and recently returned to her Manhattan apartment to take a look back and forward.
When I first spoke with Barbara Cook, the then septuagenarian was direct about her quest for self-improvement as an artist.
I think my approach to a song has gotten deeper and deeper and deeper. I think I sing a song better now than I did 5 years ago, and I think I'll sing a song better 5 years from now than I do now, because I'm really a work in progress, it's no question. This ain't the finished product here.
9 years later.
I still feel that way. I do, yeah.
Better have a little fun. You ain't gonna live forever. Before you're old and gray, still okay. Have yourself some fun, son.
Barbara Cook is definitely still having fun. Her new CD documents her most recent cabaret act, and it mixes swinging up-tempo tunes with the heartbreaking ballads that are her trademark. What makes this combination of songs different is that most of them are new to her.
13 of these I've never done before. I knew the song sometimes, like I've Grown Accustomed to His Face, of course, everybody knows that song, but I'd never sung it.
I've grown accustomed to his face. He almost makes the day begin. I've grown accustomed to the tune he whistles night and noon. His smiles, his frowns, his ups, his downs are second nature to me now.
More than almost any singer her age, she is not afraid to do the new, not afraid of the new at all.
New York Times critic Stephen Holden has been following Cook's cabaret and concert career since the 1970s. He says while she can no longer hit the flashy high C's she used to sing, she more than compensates in her interpretations.
Her voice, having gone from a soprano to an alto, really, because she's scaled down all her keys, helps her, because high voices really don't express much. They're just beautiful and phenomenal. And it's low voices that you can really get into the dark side of things, or whatever you want to call it. And she goes there and puts all of her life into what she sings.
I tried so not to give in. I said to myself, this affair never will go so well.
But why should I try to resist when, darling, I know so well I've got you under my skin? I'd sacrifice anything, come what might, for the sake of having you near, in spite of a warning voice that comes in the night and repeats in my ear, "Don't you know, little fool, you never can win."
Over the years, Barbara Cook has developed her own philosophy and approach to performance, something she now teaches in master classes.
I think it's absolutely, totally important for a person, first of all, to hopefully know who they are as a performer and to choose songs that illuminate that person, and then to be present, to really, really be present, to be there. And to not, you know, say, "Oh, well, last Thursday I did it great. Let me try to do it like last Thursday." No, you got to do it like today, like this minute. What did I have that I don't have? What did he like that I lost track of? What did I do that I don't do the way I did before?
Barbara Cook is appearing in a cabaret show right now with singer Michael Feinstein.
The mere idea of you
and you're away,
the longing here
and start to bake a sugar cake.
You'll never know how soon.
He says he learns every time he performs with her.
Barbara is meticulous. There is not one syllable or note that is not examined by her in the preparation of a song. That doesn't mean that she takes it apart with a microscope, because I feel that at this point a lot of her process is now organic because of so many years of singing with a certain approach. It has become simply her way of life in interpreting these songs.
Remarkably, Cook's voice has remained healthy through the years.
I've never been one to do exercises and scales and things. Never. I'm very, very fortunate. The voice is just usually there, knock on wood. I've never had any big vocal problems. And I had a wonderful teacher who obviously gave me a very good technique I've been using all these years. And, you know, if it hurts, I don't do it. You make me feel so young. You make me feel so spring has sprung.
Cook says all of the songs on her new CD have something in common in addition to being new to her.
It does have a kind of theme in a way about life and getting older, and I choose things that I want to say. And this is where I am in life, and this is what I want to say right now.
And with any luck, we'll hear where she is in another 9 years. For NPR News, I'm Jeff Lund.